Well, hey there, team. This is podcast number 261 for Coach Jeff, and it's episode 66 of The Running Podcast. Well, hey there, team, and welcome along to this episode of The Running Podcast, brought to you by the JWS Media Group and Coach Jeff. Coaching since 1983 and podcasting since 2007, I am your coach, Jeff Smith, and in today's show, we again get the chance to catch up with Mike LaRue as he winds up his quest and runs the Grand Slam of Ultra Running. And you're also going to hear from me, the coach, out on the road as I run marathon number 9 of my 12 in 12 in 2012, which I somehow think is going to be 10 in 12 in 2012. But stay tuned for that. Coach Jeff is supported by Infinite Nutrition, Squeaky Cheeks, Injinji Performance Products, and Ultra Zero Drop Running Shoes. And of course, the Sufferfest, the world's greatest cycle training videos. When you order your Infinite Nutrition or Squeaky Cheeks, use the code Coach Jeff to get a great discount. And when you order your Ultra Running Shoes through Injinji Performance Products, use the code ULTRA0DROP to also get a great discount. Now, to use your codes, just simply click on the widgets over there on the right-hand side of any of our websites, and that will take you straight through to our supporters where you can use your codes and get some fantastic discounts. Don't forget, the code for Infinite Nutrition and Squeaky Cheeks is Coach Jeff, and the code for ordering your Ultra Running Shoes through Injinji Performance Products is ULTRA0DROP. And don't forget that code, Coach Jeff, can also be used on the US Infinite site, so you guys and girls living the dream over there in the US can get your Infinite and use the code Coach Jeff. Check out The Running Podcast at therunningpodcast.com. Contact us here at the show on the email, which is podcast@coachjeff.com.au. Don't forget to check out Coach Jeff at coachjeff.com.au. Now, as from October 2012, team, all our content from all of our podcasts can now be found in the one place over on the Coach Jeff podcast feed, and that includes content from the Running Podcast. At the request of a lot of listeners who don't want to be getting content from the Running Podcast, the Triathlon Podcast, all these different shows, we're going to continue to put the content out. For example, in the case of the Running Podcast, all the content will be at the Running Podcast, but all the content from all our shows, including the Running Podcast, can now be found on one feed at one place, and that is the Coach Jeff Podcast. Now, to subscribe to the Coach Jeff Podcast, just simply go through to coachjeff.com.au, click on the little iTunes badge over there on the right-hand side, go through to iTunes and subscribe to the Coach Jeff Podcast, and you will get every single episode of all our shows all in the one spot. So whether your content is running, triathlon, multi-sports, wine even, motivation, you can get all our content all in the one place on the one show, the Coach Jeff Podcast. The music you can hear in the background is our intro music, Running in Circles by the band 2AM. Some of the great music that we get from the PodSafe Music Network. Check it all out at musicalley.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/pages/coach-jeff. If you're on Facebook right now, can you do us a huge favor? Facebook and your family and friends, let them know that you're listening to The Running Podcast with Coach Jeff. All right, gang, well, listen, sit back, relax, maybe grab yourself a coffee. But definitely join me as we lace up and go for a run. Who's to say that you should have known you're lovely the way you are? Well, good morning, team, and welcome along to marathon number 9 of my 12 in 12 in 2012. And man, it is foggy out here this morning. It's around about 20 past 5 on a Thursday morning. Yep, Thursday, a Thursday marathon. Who would ever have thought? And I figured today was as good a day as any to get it done. I've got a lot of stuff to do this weekend, so not too much happening this morning, so I thought today's the good day to do it. And we're going to run today from Petrie. It's going to be a suburban run today. The last few runs have been on trails and out in the back of Whoop Whoop. But today it's going to be a suburban run as we run from Petrie across the suburbs all the way down to Brighton, around over through Shorncliffe, back up through Sandgate, and then follow the waterfront all the way along the very edge of Moreton Bay into Redcliffe.
where I'm going to jump into the water at Sutton's Beach, have a bit of a dip, and hopefully Mrs. Coach will pick me up and we'll go and have some coffee and some donuts. And man, oh man, I'm looking forward to that. Been a little bit tired this morning. The legs are really feeling the pressure of these marathons every month, along with, you know, just life in general, being busy. Let's get across this road. And one of the things I'm not looking forward to this morning is running through the suburbs as the traffic. But hey, it's a great day to be alive and a great day to be out here running yet another marathon. So we'll sign off for now, and we'll probably pick the recorder up again when we get away from a little bit of this early traffic. All right, guys, I hope wherever you're running, and that's the thing that I really hate is loud motorbikes. Why? You know, I love my Harley Davidson, although every man and his dog seems to ride one these days. And hello, all of a sudden we're doing a soapbox rant. But man, I cannot understand, you know, the need to drive those or ride those things around with no baffles in the muffler and just driving every man, woman and child mad with the noise they make. And maybe I'm just getting to be a grumpy old man. All right, guys, we're going to sign off, and we'll pick it up again in a little bit down the road. Wherever you're running around the world, I hope you're having a great day out. And, man, I'll see you soon.
And with that, team, we were off and running in marathon number 9 of our 12 in 12. And, man, it was foggy out there on Thursday. It was really, really eerie down in the trails down below our house. Man, visibility was down to maybe a couple of hundred feet, and a really sort of thick, low fog hanging in the trees. Man, it was just absolutely spectacular, and I knew that it was going to be warming up later in the day once that fog lifted. So we're going to get back and check in with the coach as he runs, and then we're going to have a great chat with Mike LaRue about his running of the Grand Slam of Ultra Trail Running.
Well, good morning, team, and there you have it, the beep. Time for a quick walk break. And welcome back to the 12 in 12 in 2012, marathon number 9. And man, this has been a great challenge this year. It really has. And, you know, if you had said to me at the beginning of the year that I would run a marathon per month for the entire 12 months, man, I would have laughed at you. But it's just been a great challenge. It's really gotten some good running back into my legs, knowing that I got one long run, okay, time to run, one long run, you know, every month has really made a huge difference. And it's just a beautiful day out here today. You know, the fact that I know that I'm going to be out here for around about 5.5 to 6 hours this morning running across suburbia. And that's the thing that fascinates me, that, you know, still intrigues me at, you know, 55 years of age, just how far you can carry yourself under your own power, whether it's on two legs or two wheels. And whoop, I'll just get over that log. And you know, just it still intrigues me to this day. I'm a bit childlike, you know, in my fascination with just how far you can locomote across the surface of this little blue bubble, you know, under your own power, if you just get your backside off the couch and get out the door and have a go. You know, whether it's a couple of kilometers or a couple of hundred kilometers, you know, our mate and buddy from the running podcast, Mike LaRue, has just finished running 4 100-mile trail races in 11 weeks. You know, it just fascinates me so. But anyway, we better get back to this run. It's very foggy out here this morning, which tells me one thing, that a little bit later on this morning, better just walk some really greasy, slippery rocks here. It tells me one thing, that later on this morning, it's going to be very sunny and probably very, very hot. So looking forward to that. Can't wait to get over to Sutton's Beach and have a bit of a dip later on this morning. Well, that'll be almost lunchtime, I think. Alrighty, gang. I'll catch up with you again a little bit further down the road. Bye for now. Well, good morning, team, and welcome back to the roads of Brisbane as I continue to run marathon number 9 of 12 in 12 in 2012. And the very first question I must ask today is, I need to speak to Jason from Infinite Nutrition and Mrs. Coach from coachjeff.com.au and ask them what they have put in both my breakfast and my Infinite, because today Man, I am running like an absolute mad chook out here. We're at around about just past the halfway mark this morning in 1 hour, 54 and 30 seconds. And man, that's the fastest half I've run for a long, long time. It's not fast by any stretch of the imagination, but pretty fast for rickety old Coach Jeff these days. And man, I have never felt better. So whether it's a combination of being, I've been a very flat course this morning, no hills at all where I'm running today from Petrie to Sandgate and up to Redcliffe, fairly flat. But whether it's the combination of a lot of long running this year, we'll ignore that. That's me due to run again, but I'll just continue to walk, have a bit of a break while I can. And, you know, I don't know what it is, or fuel or what, or whether it was the beer I had last night, I don't know. But man, I've been running like an absolute possessed madman this morning and having an absolute ball out here, feeling fantastic. And but as we all know, it's okay to run to the half, or it's even okay to run to the 30K mark, but it's that last 12 that will nail you. So as my beeper continues, shut that off for a minute, as my beeper continues to remind me I should be doing something. But man, what a beautiful day out here today. It is very warm already now. Well, as I say, we're just coming up on 2 hours in now, and the sun is well and truly up. It's around about 25 past seven in the morning. And as I said earlier on, a beautiful Brisbane, you know, spring morning, and already I can feel the heat starting to bite. So in the next couple of hours as I round this run up, it's going to get very warm. But man, what a beautiful day out here. Well, you know, I don't know what to say. I just feel simply absolutely incredible this morning, and you know, I don't know what to. And I think we always look for reasons. We look for reasons why we're going bad. When we have a good run, we start to look for reasons why. But I think it's just a combination of, as I keep saying, you know, having a long run of 42.2 every month, and a lot of easier, faster running in between. And you know, I've been eating fairly well lately, I don't know. You know, things are just good. Head's good, body feels good, and there you go. It all adds up to having a great day of running. But I really do think it's just a flat course today. It's been fairly easy to run solid at the moment. I'm running, I'm doing walk run this morning. I'm running for 2 minutes 30, walking for 30 seconds, and the 2 minutes 30 that I run, I'm fairly striding that out. I'm really punching that out this morning, which is great. So, well, anyway, I guess enough chit-chat. I've dallied around long enough. Time to get back to it. So wherever you're running around the world today, man, I hope you're having as much fun as I'm having out here this morning as I run marathon number 9 for the year in my attempt to run 12 in 12 in 2012. Well, good morning, team, and welcome back to the course for marathon number 9 of 12 in 12 in 2012. And that's a walk break. Switch that off for a minute. And man, running like an absolute mad chook this morning. I don't know what is going on with it. Like I said earlier on, it's a flat course, hot day, and fueled up. Feeling the pinch now, but we have covered 30 Ks in 2 hours and 53 minutes. So hang on, let's switch that off, get rid of that all together for now. And man, that is the fastest I've run 30K probably since 1999 2000. And man, absolutely rocketing this morning, feeling it. I can tell you, man, I'm hurting big time. You know, feel good, but man, there's not much in the legs left now. So we're just at about 31.5 now, so all we've got is the rest of, if you're following along on the map, the rest of the Sandgate foreshore. I'm nearly all the way back to Brighton, across the longest bridge in the southern hemisphere, onto the Redcliffe Peninsula, round through Woody Point, and along the foreshore to finish at Sutton's Beach. And now if I can just cover the last 11k in around about an hour and a bit, that will be the fastest marathon I've run since 1997. So we won't get ahead of ourselves, because as we all know, 30 is good, but it's getting that last 11 or 12 done, and it is getting hot now, and beautiful along here along the foreshore on Moreton Bay through Sandgate. It's just absolutely incredible. So, man, I hope you're having a great run wherever you're running today. We're going to get back to it as we continue to run 12 in 12 in 2012. See you soon.
All righty, team. We'll leave the coach out there running on the roads of Brisbane, and we'll get back to him later in the show. But right now, we're going to jump across and have a great chat with a guy that you've become very familiar with in recent months here on the Running Podcast, and that's Mike LaRue. And we got a chance to catch up with Mike. He'd got back to Australia and had completed the Grand Slam of Ultra Trail Running. And we caught up with Mike and sort of had a bit of a debrief and a bit of a sum up of everything that took place, including what turned out to be the toughest of them all, the very last race, the Wasatch Trail 100. So sit back, relax, listen in as we chat with Mike LaRue. All right, guys, welcome back to the Running Podcast. And this guy needs absolutely no introduction. Of course, we're chatting with Mike LaRue. And Mike LaRue, I think we can honestly say now you're a Grand Slammer.
You know, it never crossed my mind that I wouldn't finish it, but you can never be too complacent. And so, you know, until I walked across the finish line at Wasatch, I kind of kept that at bay. But you're right, now I've finished the slam and I'm a Grand Slammer, so that's a pretty cool feeling.
Oh, man, I just have so much admiration and respect for what you've done, man. And just to remind people, the Grand Slam of Ultra Running is 4 100-mile trail races. In fact, it's not 4 months, it's closer to 3 months, isn't it?
It's 11 weeks.
11 weeks, yeah.
From start to finish, yep.
And it kicks off with the Western States 100, and then the Vermont 100, the Leadville 100, and finishes with the Wasatch 100 trail. And, of course, we've been chatting with you after each race. And I guess straight out of the blocks, man, how was it at Wasatch?
Wasatch was really tough, you know. Like, I think it's the hardest for last. It's sort of second hardest to Hard Rock. If you've looked at the elevation profile, it's just, you know, the second half of the race, and particularly the last 25 miles, is brutal. You know, it's one of the old ones. It's a lot of it's single track. It's all alpine sort of stuff. And, you know, I write a little race report afterwards, and at the end of the race report, there's two things, you know, what worked well for that race and what didn't work well for that race. And what didn't work well for Wasatch was running 300 miles before that.
Sure.
So I think it finally caught up with me about mile 40, and it then just came about survival.
Yeah, you know, and I think when you consider a 100-mile trail race, it's the sort of thing that most of us would train, you know, probably for in excess of 12 months. It's the only 100-mile we're going to do in that particular block, and it's very specific. And as you said, man, the worst thing is to have had to have run 3 100-milers basically as training.
And that's it. You know, it kind of – mentally I was good, and I approached Wasatch in a good frame of mind. So that to me was probably the most important thing. Had I been mentally not focused beforehand, it would have been even worse. And physically I was good up to a point, but, you know, it's just vertical. It was like none of the other races. And, you know, there's some significant elevation gain, and then you're sort of dabbling at altitude. You're up around 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 feet. So yeah, 300 miles before then wouldn't have been my choice of how I'd approach that race. But having said that, I don't think I'd ever go back and race it fresh. it was that hard.
Yeah, look, I've seen quite a few photos and a little bit of video from some of the Wasatch Trail, and man, it is just like you describe it. It's almost a little bit otherworldish, you know. It's single track, it's winding, it's pretty gnarly, I think is the word you could use to describe it, and I think brutal sums it up.
Well, and you know, particularly the last half, you know, when you get to 50 miles, you've basically come down in a valley, and then you begin your hike up again. And you know, most of the races are all coming down at that point. Angeles Crest, which wasn't obviously part of the Grand Slam, which was one I ran last year, has a real difficult last 25 miles, which, you know, it's pretty tough. But Wasatch, you know, by far supersedes that. So it's less about running and more just about surviving. And so I blew out a bit at the end, but you know, at that point it was just about crossing the line and finishing the slam.
Yeah, and I guess the good news is, man, it's you join a very, very elite group of people that you know, have completed the Grand Slam of ultra trail running.
There's you know, there's not that many, over 27, so it's been going for 27 years, and if my memory serves me correctly, there's something like, you know, you average 10 a year. So I don't even think there's 300 people that have completed that in that space of time. And we started with 25 in our year and 15 finished. So that was a real big year of finishes.
Yeah.
Some years they've had like three or four. So it was good to be part of that. And yeah, I don't think I'd hurry back to try and get into that again anytime soon.
Yeah, man, I would never be going back to it, let me tell you.
It's not a sustainable format of racing. You know, it's you know, by the end of it, whether you win or you come last, it's, you know, wherever you are in that field, it's less about fitness and more about surviving and how lucky you are, really. I mean, you know, I raced it, you know, initially I went over there to finish. And at a point I was winning the thing. And so Paul Terranova, who won outright, you know, he put together two great runs at Leadville and Wasatch, and fair play to him. Like, I respect that. And, but it's not a fitness issue. It's just having a bit of luck on your side and being able to just, have everything be aligned for you on the days.
Yeah, I think so. And when you look at, you know, getting a little bit sick with the altitude and food at Leadville, that's the sort of things that, you know, when you're racing the Grand Slam, although I find it funny to say that, you know, racing the Grand Slam, racing four 100 milers, you know, it's like, as you say, it's more about just, you know, metering out your effort and surviving. And I think, you know, luck just went against you there at Leadville, and gave Paul the chance to get a few more, you know, form, you know, a few more hours up the road on you. You know, and he had two really strong races at the back end of the four.
He really did. And you know, great athlete. He had some great races. And but, you know, him and I chatted, and afterwards, and we chatted a lot, you know, we all became good buddies in that. You know, and one of the things that he said was, you know, from the outside, what I was doing looked like, you know, living the dream. And whilst it was an awesome experience, I pretty much lived out of a bag for 3 months, you know, although I stayed at various houses and that. And, you know, you're out of routine, you're away from your natural environment, you're away from your normal diet. You know, I was trying to eat similarly to how I would do here, but it's just, it's not your own. And so, you know, after each race, he would go back to his home, get his usual massage, eat his normal food, get back into routine again. And, you know, whilst I wouldn't change the way I did it, it's just, you know, that was just a component that probably.
I think, home, the old hometown advantage has always got a lot going for it. And when you have to travel to the other side of this little blue bubble, and as you say, to be outside of your normal tribal area and tackle something like that, it just makes it so tough. And again, I keep saying, man, that's why I have so much respect and admiration for what you've done. Because, man, if we look at the early part of the Grand Slam, man, you were pushing away right there at the front of the field, and were genuinely running with the pack.
Yeah, I am. You know, I have that race strategy, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't, but it's go out hard and hang on, going out hard's easy, but hanging on's not that easy. And I just couldn't hang on to the end. But, you know, like I said, I wouldn't have done it any other way. And I gave it my best, and I didn't leave anything out there. So I was really happy with how the whole thing went.
Awesome. And, mate, in terms of gear, you know, how did you find the gear that you used? What worked, what didn't work, what foods worked, what went good and what went bad?
Well, you know, I used the Saucony Kinvara as my race shoe, and, you know, the Kinvara is a real lightweight road racing flat, but, you know, over that period of time during each race, you fatigue so much in the legs that any extra little bit of weight that you got to lift up is, you know, it's significant over that period of time. So in terms of shoes, the Kinvara and Saucony were just fantastic. And I would typically go through a pair of shoes a race. So I'd unbox a pair of shoes maybe a week and a half out, you know, get two or three runs in them just to break that new crispness. And then I'd run in them. And then after 100 miles, I'd pretty much have to throw them away because it's not an easy 100 miles, and I'd pretty much go through the uppers. But, yeah, so from a shoe point of view, that worked. And then with the Enduro as my race nutrition, excellent choice. You know, it's sustainable. It had everything I needed. Probably the thing that I could have done a bit differently was break up the flavor. So...
Yeah,
I had a bit of flavor fatigue, so I used, you know, the vanilla version. I probably should have gone with the chocolate, but I couldn't get it there, and you know, that was just a choice I made. So vanilla, a tub of vanilla optimizer and like 30 or 40 gels every 3 weeks. If I don't see another one of those for the rest of this year, I'd be unhappy.
Man, I got the guy from Endura on the other line, mate. He said he's sending a pallet load of the vanilla flavour to your house as we speak, mate.
Yeah. So those kind of things. I mean, you know, liquid nutrition is the way to go still in these things, although I did use a lot more solid stuff in Wasatch just to break it up a bit. I kind of try to keep it as lean as possible. I went from using the Salomon backpack, you know, the one, the XT Wings.
Oh, yep. Yeah, great pack.
It is a great pack, but I then moved on to the Ultimate Direction handheld bottles, and I found that they were a lot easier. And, you know, I've used them in the past, but I kind of went back to that just so that I could get stuff off my shoulders and just keep as lightweight as possible.
Yeah, I'm back to using handhelds, man. I've been doing these unsupported these 12 and 12 marathons, I've been mainly using my old Camelback Mule backpack, but I've gone back to concentrating down my food and sling that around the waist or in one of my hip pockets, and I've gone back to handhelds, and it's such a relief off your shoulders, man.
It is, you know, and I always used to think it was you know, worse holding them, but I suppose it's just what you're used to, and maybe I overdid it with it on my shoulders for, you know, 20 hours, and so, you know, now a couple of 20-hour runs with them in my hands, I'll be sick of them by the next race. But the plan is now to run nothing longer than what I need to, that I need to even carry anything to drink. So that'll get me off that for a while.
Yeah, cool. What about clothing? What was really working for you?
I used the 2xU triathlon singlet. You know, the sleeveless singlet with the zip up front, and I found that's pretty good because you got the zip in the front. So you know, during the day you zip that thing down, you open up a bit. It's cool. Plus, it's got the pocket at the back. You can put extra gels in, and I like the compression gear because it just keeps everything together. You don't have stuff flapping around. So, you know, if it was cooler, I'd put the 2xU compression short sleeve top over that and a set of arm warmers, and then I'd just, you know, strip off during the day. And then Saucony have got a pair of fatigue shorts, which are compression fatigue garment, which I wore as well. So everything resembled triathlon gear, which was a lot different to what most of the guys wore in the ultra running community. So,
yeah, they're pretty big on shorts, no singlet.
That's the thing. Or if it's a singlet, it's like a cotton singlet with no sleeves, you know, and it sort of dangles around. So,
and moth-eaten.
Yeah. So I pretty much looked like I'd come out of an Ironman. But anyway, it's kind of that ended up being my uniform for all four, so everybody kind of could identify me by that.
Cool. But then again, you could always dress like Killian, man. See-through white, skin tight.
Yeah. Yeah, white is white either suits you or it doesn't, and it doesn't suit me.
Oh, man, that's awesome. You know, it's one of the things I've been thinking about, as I said to you, I think not only myself, but there's quite a handful of people that you've provided great inspiration to over the last few months. Because as we're out doing our long runs, you know, I've been thinking about, you're out there, and the other day I was running along and I had this pair of shorts that were just annoying me. Yep. And I'm running along thinking, geez, I wonder how Mike's going. I wonder if his shorts are annoying him, because his shorts were driving me nuts. And I'm going, well, that's the first and last time I'm running in them.
Yeah, well, you know, there were a lot of things that did annoy me, and I just had to suck it up. So, but with the compression gear too, you know, what was a good plan with the compression vest, the tri vest, was that I could get ice into it and zip up the front. So when I'd get into an aid station, I'd unzip it, I'd fill the front chest part with ice, and I'd zip it up. So I always had that, you know. So that's quite a clever thing, if you can remember that, because it's a place to hold ice and it keeps it cool for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then with the compression shorts, you know, like the amount of stuff you can store in those shorts while you're running,
yeah,
without the need for a pocket. So just up the side of your leg, I'd have bananas, I'd have gels, I'd have all sorts of stuff up there.
Yeah.
Between the garment and your actual skin. So it worked pretty well. So from a clothing point of view, that streamlined and lightweight worked.
Cool.
Yeah.
Man, what was the coldest part of the four races and the hottest part of the four races?
The coldest part, it was different cold. Western States was miserably cold. You know, it was it rained, it hailed, it sleeted, and it went on like that for 7 hours. And so I would have to say that you know, coming from Cairns straight up, was probably the worst cold that I'd experienced.
Yeah, it looked miserable. There was a couple of shots I saw of people cresting over little rocky outcrops, and man, it just looked miserable. It was like overcast, foggy, misty, and people just looked like they'd been dragged from the bottom of the ocean.
It was exactly like that. So it was miserable because of the wet. But you know, then Leadville was freezing around Turquoise Lake. You know, it was actually zero. But it was, you know, it was a still clear evening. So, you know, by then I'd acclimatized, and whilst it was cold, it wasn't raining or windy or anything. And, Wasatch also got down. Wasatch was pretty miserable. Mile 75, we were at 9,000 feet at a ski resort called Brighton, and the wind was pumping. Although it was a clear night, it was also down around freezing. So in terms of heat, Wasatch was probably the hottest. We were the most exposed. You know, we run along a lot of ridge lines there, and there's not a lot of tree cover. And so, you know, for most of the day, you'd be running a ridge line just cooking in dry heat. You know, it was pretty bad. You know, Vermont was hot and humid, but it's no different to, you know, it's a softer version of Cairns. So I was kind of looking at that. But Wasatch was probably the hottest.
Yeah, it's just, man, I've like I said, going back to saying before, looking at some of those pics and videos of Wasatch, it just, you see those hot pictures, I call them, you know, and it just looks tough, man.
Yeah.
You know, you just see people baking on the trail there on the side of the ridge.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It's you're on a ridge line, you're on a trail, you're cooking. You know, it might be 6 or 7 miles between aid stations. You know, that's 10 or 11 k's, which is not, you know, like it's 2 hours at that sort of pace. You know, so you know, by the you're drinking real tepid water out of your water bottle. You know, it's kind of warm and manky, and you know, you're. Yeah, it wasn't. Wasatch was hot and exposed. That's definitely a thing. And then with a huge contrast, at night it was cold. You know, something like Leadville. You know, although the sun was shining, because it's that high, it's not that hot during the day. You know, it's low 20s. So there's not as big a contrast between that and the evening.
Yeah, Wasatch has always got those two extremes, man. From one end to the other.
Yep.
And there's nothing better, man, I reckon, than that last inch of water in the bottom of the bottle. on a hot day, it's been in your backpack or in your hand for the last 2 hours, and you get down to that last inch, and it's like, I really need to have some hydration. But man, oh man,
yeah, I can't get it, and it's even worse if it's mixed with something. It's you know, I'd rather be dehydrated than drink that last inch. So
yeah. It's like when you talk about flavors, you know, when you've been on the one flavor for such a long time, and it gets to late in the day and you go, man, why did I pick lemon lime?
Yeah, yeah, lemon lime. That old chestnut. So it was, you know, it was a brutal day, and, you know, seeing the sun rise for the second time at Wasatch, you just realize that you've been out there for a fairly long time, and you know, it's just good to be, it's good to cross the line and then just and know that you've got nothing else to back up for.
And that's always an example, man, of just keep on going. You know, it's you know, I've had a couple of DNFs in the last couple of years. I had a long run there for years and years and years without a DNF, and man, I don't like the taste of a DNF, man, and I reckon pay your entry fee and get to the finish line, no matter whether it takes you 2 weeks, 2 months, yep, 2 years. Just keep on going.
Just keep going, and that's an important thing. You know, you always have to have a goal. I always had a goal time in mind, and I started out. You know, again, it's like I said, it's easy to go out hard, but hanging on is not that easy. And never once did it ever occur to me to pull the pin. Like, it just wasn't ever about that, but it was just, you reassess and reevaluate where you're at, and you know, you come back to that answer that it's just going to take me a little bit longer than I'd expected, and you just keep pushing it out. But you know, ultimately, so long as you keep moving, you're generally always going to cross that line. And you know, I learned a lot about myself again in that, and just confirmed it over the four races.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you couldn't have done all this without an incredible support team, both by your side and behind you, backing you up there in the States.
No, Kirsten was just fantastic. You know, she wasn't there for Vermont, but I had, you know, two other great people that crewed for me, good buddies of mine. But the stress level when she arrived for Leadville just left me, you know, like, but at that point she just becomes my brains for the operation, and she knows what I need to eat and when I need to eat it and that kind of stuff. So it takes a big takes a lot of pressure off, and I was able to relax into it a bit more. So I'm extremely lucky to have that level of support from home, and I just know that I couldn't have got there, A, without it, and B, finished as well as I did without her there. So yeah, it's important to have that support base.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's like my 12 in 12s, man. I couldn't do it without Mrs. Coach running around feeding me drinks and picking me up and making sure, yep, I don't get lost or run over. It's you know, to have that sort of support is just simply incredible.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. I went down when we got back on the during the week, and I went down to a local 5k race here on our Esplanade, and you know, I had to hang around for the, you know, we got down there for race registration. I didn't run, my wife ran. And, you know, it's done in 25 minutes, and then there's prize giving. So the whole thing might have taken 2 hours from the time we got down there to the time we finished. And I could feel myself getting ropeable because it, you know, it was feeling like a long time, and I'm like, where's this price? But then I had to pinch myself because, you know, she would like sit for 6 hours at an aid station waiting for me, you know, in a 30-hour race. So
you just
got to be careful.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think you and I spoke about this in the past. You know, you go and spectate at a 10K or a half marathon, and it wipes you out. You're just absolutely wiped out, you know. And it's like, man, how do I run 100 miles? I can't even stand here for a few hours and watch a race go by.
Oh, no, that's the thing. And, you know, you try like hell to be excited, but it just doesn't work. And then I realize, oh, you know, Kirsten's, you know, hung around for 28 hours. You know, that must be a lot worse than the 2 hours that I did down at the 5K, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, man, we better get you out of here because now that it's all over, man, you've got to go back to work.
Got to go and earn a crust.
Back
to reality and the party's ended. So, yeah, I've got to get off to the bike shop and go and put in a few hours in.
Well, man, we might catch up again soon, have a bit of a chat about what you're going to be up to next. I'm sure, knowing you, Mike, there'll be a little bit of downtime, but I'm sure already in the back of your mind you've got something on the go.
Yeah, I've thought about a few things, and we'll chat, and, you know, I'll be able to fill you in a bit more about what's happening in the next chat, because there's some really exciting things that are happening, and not a lot I can divulge at this point, but I'll talk to you about that at some other point.
For sure, man, for sure. And look, just let me say, Mike, I on behalf of myself and my listeners of the Running Podcast, man, we just want to thank you ever so much. You know what you've provided to us and for us, and making yourself available. I know that has been a stressful time, but the way you've made yourself available, just have a chat with us and, you know, keep us up to speed with what we think is an exciting thing that you've done. Man, we thank you ever so much because it's been a real blast to have you on the show. And I hope we continue to have you as a regular on the Running Podcast, letting us know what you're doing, what you're up to. And, man, we really, really appreciate it, buddy.
Well, I really appreciate the support you guys have shown me and have given me over time. So it's been an absolute pleasure making that effort for us to chat. And, yeah, certainly if you've got the time, I'll have the time and we can chat at another stage.
Mate, for sure, for sure. But in the meantime, buddy, go to work, earn a dollar.
Yeah.
Like the rest of us. It's going to be the hardest thing, man, working away thinking, geez, man, it was only a few weeks ago I was hanging off the side of a ridge at Wasatch, burning my tail off, drinking manky water.
It's a reality check, and you know, fortunately, I'm at a bike shop, and we got some really cool gear there. So I'm not sitting at an office desk, and there's a cool bunch of guys. So it's kind of an easier transition, but you're very definitely, you know, what I was doing 2 weeks ago compared to the thought of going and doing what I'm going to do now is, it doesn't hold a lot of excitement.
all right, buddy. Well, listen, man, you take care. Really proud of what you've done, man. We really are. I just, like I say, without peeing in your pocket too much, mate, it's I have such admiration and respect for what you've done. And, you know, I just very, very proud of what you've done, mate. And we thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Jim. Thanks.
Good on you. Mike LaRue, don't forget, go and check out Mike's great website, mikelarue.com.au. And I tell you what, you want some coaching, Mike's the man. You want to learn how to run 100K or 100 mile, go and check him out and get him on side, get him to give you a hand. Don't go away, guys. We're out of here now. We'll put a little bit of music on. We'll be back on the other side. We'll tidy it all up. Don't go away. guys, welcome back. And that was I Know That You Know by Spice House Baby, some of the great music that we get from the Podsafe Music Network. Check it all out at musicalley.com. And, man, a huge big thank you to Mike LaRue. And, Mike, thank you ever so much, buddy, for the time that you've given us over the past few months. I don't know about the rest of you guys and girls, but, man, I have been absolutely fascinated and intrigued watching Mike run the Grand Slam of Ultra Trail Running. And, man, it has got me fired up for a lot of things that I want to do down the track. So don't forget, hop on over to Mike's website, mikelarue.com.au. And if you're thinking of running your first 100K or first 100 mile, get Mike on the job and get him to give you a hand with coaching you through your first 100, whether it's kilometres or miles. All righty, well, we're out of here now. We're going to go back and catch up with Coach Jeff on the road, see what he's up to in his 12 in 12 in 2012. Then we'll pop back on the other side and we'll tidy it all up. Don't go away.
Well, good morning, team. Welcome back to marathon number 9 of 12 in 12 in 2012. And here we are. Sorry about the wind, but here we are. Man, almost at the end of the day. And we're just on, well, I've covered the marathon distance now, and just a kilometre to go to the finish line where I'll be dipping my toes into the water at Sutton's Beach. But, man, it has just been simply an awesome, awesome day out today. Today I have run, well, you've heard me say it earlier on today, I've been running like a madman all day. But I paid the price for that. I got to about 36, 37K, and, man, I have absolutely blown up since then. So, covered the marathon distance this morning in 4 hours 21 minutes, which is that'll make it my second fastest marathon since 1997. So, man, I am absolutely stoked with that as a little aeroplane goes overhead. And sore, that's all I can say. My right ankle is absolutely killing, bottom of my feet very, very sore, both my knees are sore. That sounds like a Oh, man, it sounds horrible, doesn't it? But, man, I feel absolutely fantastic. Pardon me. And but I am really, you know, I'm done this morning. It's been a great day out. The early miles this morning, I just couldn't believe how well I was running. And just had a phone call while I was out on the course from a good buddy, Jason, from Infinite Nutrition, just checking on me. And, mate, that's just awesome. Very, very special guy, that guy. And as I said to Jace, you know, my early, I think today it's been a combination of good fuel, you know, a lot of running in the legs, and a very, very flat course. You know, today has been literally no hills whatsoever, and that makes for good running. Started off running this morning on a combination of run-walk with run 2-minute 30, walk 30, and then as my legs blew up, I've chopped that back to run 1:30, walk 30. And still keep a fairly good clip, you know, but I got through the 30K in 2 hours, 52 or something, I think it was, which is just simply awesome, absolutely awesome. And, pardon me, but now, you know, with the marathon distance covered, it's just an easy 1K jog walk down the waterfront here at Sutton's Beach, and round it up, and, man, I am just absolutely wrapped. So, man, as always, thank you to each and every one of you that have posted comments of support over there at Facebook. Man, that just fires me up, means so much. And I guess the motto after the last couple of weeks is that haters are going to hate, but runners are going to run. And today, man, I just run. And I've had an awesome day out here. So thank you to each and every one of you that have posted comments. Thanks to Jace from Infinite Nutrition, man, making sure that we are absolutely fueled up. Thank you to the guys from Squeaky Cheeks. Again, I've had my undies full of Squeaky Cheeks and my socks full of Squeaky Cheeks this morning. And, man, I still feel as fresh as when I left home. Thank you so much to the guys from Injinji Performance Products Ultra Zero Drop Running Shoes. Man, it sounds like an infomercial now, doesn't it? But it all goes together to help me get through yet another marathon. So that's 9 down for the year. And, man, I am looking forward to... Oh, here we are. Look at that. Just... You can probably hear the waves in the background now. It's just an awesome sight as you crest the hill here and run down onto the waterfront. All right, guys, I'm out of here now. I'm going to wind this run up and tidy it all up, go and dip my feet in the water. And, man, I'll catch up with you guys on the roads and trails again real soon.
All righty, guys, that'll just about do us for this episode of the Running Podcast. But we cannot finish the show without saying a huge big thank you to Mrs. Coach for once again making sure that I was able to get through another marathon in my 12 in 12 in 2012. So, Mrs. Coach, once again, a huge, huge, huge big thank you for making sure you looked after me throughout the day and for actually picking me up, making sure I was able to get home. So, Mrs. Coach, thank you ever so much. And guys, I invite you to be a part of the Coach Jeff community by just simply checking in at Coach Jeff from time to time. Leave a comment or two right there on the site. Don't forget we now have live chat options on the website, or you can send us feedback, questions, race reports, events, anything you like to podcast@coachjeff.com.au. And if you've got an event or even a cause that you're trying to promote, well, send it to me here at Coach Jeff, because we are heard in over 102 countries on this little blue bubble. So we are heard by a lot of people in a lot of places. So get in touch and let us help you promote whatever it is you're trying to promote. Don't forget to say hi to us on Facebook. And you can really help us out by hopping onto iTunes and leaving a show review for us over there at iTunes. Also, I'd like to say a huge big thank you for the support that the following guys and girls have given us. And these following guys and girls have kicked in a few bucks to help keep us on the air. And they did that by simply going across to the website at coachjeff.com.au, clicked on the PayPal button up there on the right-hand side. And the very first one, you can click that and make a one-off donation of your own choice. Or the second one, you can click on that and elect to make a monthly regular donation of, I think it's about $4, I think, at this stage. Thank you, guys. It just it means ever so much to Mrs. Coach and myself that you guys would kick in a dollar or two to help keep us on the air. So thank you, thank you, thank you to Russell Segwin, Sean Gertis, Graham Lloyd, Russell Jackson, Ty Wilson, Jackie Freeman, Lily Hansen, Gus Chalmers, Jane Heineman. And guys, thank you, thank you, thank you ever so much. Coach Jeff, of course, is also supported by Infinite Nutrition, Squeaky Cheeks, Injinji Performance Products, and Ultra Zero Drop Running Shoes. And of course, the Sufferfest, the world's greatest cycle training videos. When you order your Infinite Nutrition or Squeaky Cheeks, make sure that you use the code Coach Jeff to get a great discount. And when you order your ultra running shoes through Injinji Performance Products, use the code ULTRAZERODROP to get a great discount when checking out. Make sure you use your codes and pick up some great discounts when you're buying your Infinite Nutrition, your Squeaky Cheeks, or your ultra running shoes. To use your codes, just simply click on the widgets over there on the right-hand side of the website. That'll take you straight through to our supporters where you can use those codes and pick up some great discounts. While you're over at coachjeff.com.au, don't forget to click on the podcast tab up there at the top of the page and check out some of the other great content that we have. And speaking of content, don't forget that from October 2012 onwards, absolutely every single episode of every podcast that we produce, so all the content that Coach Jeff produces, can now be found at the Coach Jeff podcast. And to subscribe to the Coach Jeff podcast, if you haven't done so already, just simply go through to coachjeff.com.au, click on the iTunes badge over there on the right-hand side. That'll take you through to the Coach Jeff podcast on iTunes where you can subscribe. And of course, if you only want running content, just stay subscribed to the running podcast. And of course, you'll only get the running content. But all our content, whether it's running, triathlon, multisport, motivation, Xterra, or wine, it is all going to be on the Coach Jeff podcast feed from October onwards. So we've had a lot of requests from a lot of people to do that. So that's what we'll do. Well, that's about enough from me banging away in here today. I'm out of here now, but remember what the coach always says, train to race and race to win, but man, you have a heap of fun along the way. Until we catch up on the very next episode of the Running Podcast, this is the coach saying bye-bye for now.